This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 360, down 2. September corn, 366 and 3 quarters, down 2.5. December corn, 377 and a quarter, down 3. July soybeans, 941 and a quarter, down 5. August soybeans, 931 and 3 quarters, down 6 and a quarter. September soybeans, 920 and 3 quarters, down 5 and a quarter. July wheat, 512 and a half, up 2 and a quarter. September wheat, 518 and a half, up 10 and 3 quarters. December wheat, 533 and a half, down 10. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Wednesday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mostly lower late Wednesday afternoon, except for wheat, which moved higher on too much rain flooding wheat fields in the southern plains. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn 2 to 4 cents lower at 335 to 354. Soybeans are down 5 to 6 cents at 918 to 934. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shelled corn mostly 2 cents lower at 335 to 360. Soybeans are down mostly 5 cents, ranging 926 to 946. In the southern part of the state, elevators and mills reported shelled corn 2 to 6 cents lower at 341 to 368. Soybeans are down 5 to 8 cents at 934 to 957. Wheat closed 1 to 3 cents higher at 419 to 483. Illinois soybean processors cash bids were 5 cents lower at 966 to 971. Basis levels were unchanged at 25 to 30 over the July. High protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 309.50 to 329.50 per ton, with basis levels unchanged to 5 higher at 5 to 25 over the July. Illinois corn processors cash bids were 2 to 3 cents lower at 359 to 377, with the basis levels unchanged to a penny lower at 100 to 17 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators placed their producer corn market unchanged to 3 cents stronger at 356 to 364, with the basis levels 2 to 5 cents higher at 400 to 4 over the July. Soybeans closed 4 to 5 cents lower at 952 to 961. Basis levels were unchanged to a penny stronger at 11 to 20 over the July. New crop wheat prices were up 3 cents at 495 to 501. Basis levels were unchanged at 1800 to 1200 the July. East St. Louis barge zoning terminal elevators placed their producer corn market unchanged to 3 cents lower at 376 to 378. These elevators lowered their soybean bids 5 cents at 977 to 978. Wheat was up 2 to 3 cents at 512 to 513. Milo closed 2 cents lower at 410 to 426. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivery grain in northern and western Illinois. Fall delivery shell corn contracts were offered at 337 up to 352. Fall delivery soybean contracts ranged from 861 up to 892. In central Illinois, fall delivery shell corn contracts were quoted at 332 to 350. Fall delivery soybean contracts at 885 to 899. In the southern part of the state, fall delivery shell corn contracts were offered at 339 up to 352. Fall delivery soybean contracts range from 885 up to 906. June-July delivery soft wheat contracts in the southern part of the state range from 478 to 501. That concludes Wednesday's closing grain report.
And here are Wednesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 151.35, down 62 cents. August live cattle, 149.72, down 87 cents. October live cattle, 151.40, down 60 cents. May feeder cattle, 219.72, up 37 cents. August feeder cattle, 216.70, down 45 cents. September feeder cattle, 215.87, down 72 cents. June lean hogs, 82.55, up 40 cents. July lean hogs, 83.35, up $1.17. August lean hogs, 83.75, up 92 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday the 20th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.05 lower in a range of $70.50 to $80.50 with a weighted average carcass price of $78.83. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sows are trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 22 to 27, 4 to 5 weight at 26 to 31, 5 to 6 weight at 30 to 33, and over 600 pounds at 32 to 35. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and guts of country buying points are trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $55 to $58. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled 7,773. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 158 to 160.50, on a dress basis at 250 to 253. Heifers on a live basis traded at 158 to 161 and on a dress basis at 250 to 252. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 404 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 86.13, which is 42 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $264.98, which was 61 cents lower, and select carcasses at $251.06, which was 3 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 112,000, compared to 112,000 last week and 118,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 423,000, compared to 418,000 last week and 405,000 one year ago. United Producers Livestock Auction Report for Tuesday, May 19th, added receipts of $304 compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers traded $2 to $3 lower. Slaughter Holstein steers traded $1.50 lower. Slaughter steers choice at $158 to $163.50. Slaughter Holstein steers choice at $149 to $153.50. Heifers choice at $158 to $160.50. Slaughter cows, boners average dressing at 101 to 115, leans average dressing at 101.50 to 114.50. Slaughter bulls average dressing at 124 to 135. Feeder heifers medium and large, 4 weight at 248, 5 weight at 228, 6 weights at 215 to 220. And feeder bulls medium and large, 6 weight at 223 to 224 and 7 weight at 206. The Greenville Livestock Opening Report had estimated receipts of 314. Slaughter steers choice at 158 to 165. Slaughter heifers choice at 158 to 162. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is 38 ayes to 6 nays.
Thank you. The motion is approved, and the bill is favorably reported to the House with a motion that do pass.
With that, the House Ag Committee passed a bill Wednesday morning that could repeal the now offending country of origin labeling law. The move is meant to preempt any retaliation measures by Canada or Mexico now that the U.S. is found to be out of compliance with international trade laws. Not everyone is on board. House Ag Ranking Member Colin Peterson of Minnesota.
I think we should take some time and figure out what's going on in these other countries. Is there some other way for us to deal with this so we can actually come to a resolution that will avoid what all of us want to avoid, and that is the retaliation.
Peterson saw other challenges ahead.
I don't think the Senate will be able to pass a repeal, and they're the ones that brought this into the situation in the first place in 2008. So I think we need to look at the big picture and work together to come up with a solution that will get us where we want to get and resolve this issue.
The longtime ag supporter was in the minority this time. Livestock Subcommittee Ranking Member Jim Costa of California cautioned against the repercussions if COOL were to remain the law of the land.
Let's be clear. Right now, this today is no longer about labeling. This is to ensure that we aren't dealt a devastating impacts to our agriculture economy through economic tariff retaliations. It's happened before. With yesterday's ruling by the World Trade Organization, we now face, within months, harsh retaliations from two of our largest trading partners, Canada and Mexico.
Schedules are such that the bill is unlikely to make it to the House floor until June. There is no word on when the Senate might consider a similar measure. The national nonprofit transportation research group TRIP released a new report on Tuesday that shows the U.S. rural transportation system needs vast improvements. Shanika Otterby has the story.
Roads, highways, rails, and bridges in America's heartland face a number of significant challenges. AFBF transportation specialist Veronica Nye says they lack adequate capacity, fail to provide needed levels of connectivity to many communities, and are inadequate to accommodate growing freight travel.
According to the report, in 2013, 15% of the nation's major rural roads were rated in poor condition, and another 39% were rated in mediocre or fair condition. In 2014, 11% of the nation's rural bridges were rated as structurally deficient, and 10% were functionally obsolete.
Nye says rural communities include more than 72% of U.S. land and are home to approximately 61 million people. She says transportation is essential in these communities for many reasons, including economic growth and stability.
Rural transportation is really a three-legged stool. We rely on water, rail, and roads. Without any of the three of those, our rural communities can't thrive in the way that they really should. Those different segments of the transportation system that U.S. agriculture relies on is necessary to ensure our future success.
To facilitate the necessary improvements, Nye says solutions at the county, state, and federal level must be empowered, and barriers in the permitting process must be reduced.
The federal government is a critical source of funding for rural roads, highways, and bridges. However, current federal transportation funding expires on May 31st, 2015. We need to come up with a long-term solution to provide adequate funding, timely funding, to improve rural roads, highways, and bridges.
Shanika Otterby, Washington.
With cool temperatures and no shortage of rain in the forecast, soybean planting in the listening area is slow to start, but the corn in the fields is doing well, according to Rich Metzger with CHS's Pocahontas location.
So we had a very fast pace on putting the crop in. There was about a 21-day period there where most of the corn went in, and I would say that the corn crop is probably 90, 97, 98% planted as we speak. The crop itself looks very good. We had some uneven emergence, but it seems like with this last rainfall that we had a week ago, it's brought up the later stuff, and corn stands look very good right now. So I'm very pleased with that. Some of the bean planting has started, but we're slow to plant. Many people are holding up because of the wetness and the cool temperatures.
Recently, pest control has been getting more attention, as Metzger says they are seeing armyworms move into cornfields.
One that is on the radar right now is the armyworm population is definitely above average from year to year. I guess I would advise people, if they have wheat in their rotation, to be checking their wheat fields. Most people have applied their late-season fungicide treatments, and it was our recommendation to go ahead and put insecticide in with that treatment. But with that happening, anybody that has a corn crop or a grass crop next to wheat need to be checking for the movement of armyworm into their corn crop. And that has happened here the last few days, so my advice would be to be on the look.
In addition to watching for armyworms in cornfields, Metzger advises farmers to keep a close eye on their bean fields to scout for any emergence issues.
With the cooler temperatures and some of the emergence on our beans that were planted, I think we need to pay special attention to see what our stands are going to look like here in the next week or so. I know we have some more rain moving into the area for next week, but need to check our stand counts and also go through our corn acres again and verify those population counts and make decisions if needed to touch them up, replant, or whatever dictates.
Overall, though, Metzger says he's pleased with the planting season so far.
I think everything has moved along very, very well. Our crop is looking good. I wish it was growing a little bit faster. With the cool temperatures, things have slowed down. But overall, I'm pleased with everything and just need warmer temperatures to get things moving.
Again, that was Rich Metzger with CHS's Pocahontas location. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.